On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we leave out the Reese's Pieces and look for Christian themes in E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Why is it important to phone home? How does it strengthen the bond between God and His people? All that and more in 3, 2, 1... Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode 91. I'm Michael.
I'm Brandon.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Was that anger? Congratulations, San Francisco.
It was anger and Boss Nass.
Oh, Boss Nass.
I took a Star Wars quiz. I took a Star Wars quiz on Facebook, so I had to get him out.
Did you win? Or who were you? What was it?
It was let's try to guess your age by your love of Star Wars. And they guessed 35.
Really?
About 9 years off.
You just say, I've just been studying real hard lately. Hey, speaking of studying hard, what did we do last episode?
Oh, we got out our advanced potions textbook, and we looked for Christian themes in Harry Potter, The Half-Blood Prince.
Yes, and The Half-Blood Prince. What an awesome episode that was. There were so many great themes in there as the answering machine is going over in the corner over there.
So many feels because Alan Rickman, we said it. Now we can move on.
Did you have any addendums, afterthoughts, and another thing?
Not for me.
No, I think we nailed that, didn't we?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, hey, well, let's go back in time this episode here. This is a movie requested by our very own John Wilkerson of the Wired Homeschool podcast over at thewiredhomeschool.com. As he is recuperating from second shoulder surgery.
There you go.
What movie did he want us to watch?
Oh, he wanted us to go back to 1982.
Yeah.
To get our bicycles.
Yes.
With the little milk crates on the front.
And some Reese's Pieces.
And he wants to look at E.T.
Oh, well, you ready to go to the movies?
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go.
In 1975, he directed Jaws. In 1978, he directed Close Encounters of the Third Kind. In 1981, he directed Raiders of the Lost Ark. And now, Steven Spielberg brings us E.T. the Extraterrestrial. We will witness the arrival, the search, the desertion, the fear, the discovery, the friendship.
I'm keeping you.
The secret, the love, the warning, the signal, the mystery, the danger, the intrusion, the wonderment, the enchantment, the hope. The connection has been made. Universal Pictures presents Steven Spielberg's E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Score, big sounds, and right off the bat, just real quick, a shout out to John Williams, our FCC's very own John Williams.
Yes,
Star
sir.
Wars, you know, this is an iconic soundtrack for E.T., and this man, again, he ranks, I've said it before, Mozart, Beethoven, Handel,
John Williams. I mean, this is huge and epic and important music that he produces for all these films.
Oh yeah,
and we often give shout outs to the composers and or those composing the score because they're telling a story. It is another character of the film.
Yeah.
And so I just, right off the bat, I have to do that. 1982, Brandon, I was 12 years old.
I was negative 7.
Yes, you were negative. Yeah. And, you know, I was close to 13, but when it came out, you know, I was 12 or so. And this was...
And you were thinking, man, I really hope sometime there's a movie better than Star Wars. you were hoping that, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not better. But on the same level.
But as good as.
As good as. Mm. Yeah. And this was a completely different type of a film. And before we get into all of your modern, what is it, postmodern cynicism?
Postmodern modernity.
I had just a humongous nostalgia blast this week watching this film. I haven't watched it in decades. Decades. And it was recently within... I don't know, the past year or so that a friend of my wife's at work gave my wife the Blu-ray copy. Here you go. Here's E.T. on Blu-ray. I don't need this one. And I haven't got around to watching it. I knew it was going to be on the list.
I have plenty of other copies. Here, you take this one.
Well, I wanted to save it for this occasion. I knew that it was on the list. It was on Patron St. Philip Presents.
The list!
And so I purposely didn't watch it until this week, and wow. There's a lot about this movie that I forgot, but so much that I remember. Can I just be frivolous right now and just say that this movie, I remember, after it came out, my grandma and grandpa went on a trip. I don't know where they went, Tahoe or something. Comes back, she would always bring me little gifts. And on this particular trip, it was a big bag of Reese's Pieces. Mm. I had never heard of Reese's Pieces. In fact, I think it was a brand new product. I think, you know, we're talking product placement, right?
Right.
In this. So Reese's said, hey, you know, Steven Spielberg, if you we'll pay you this much money for him to, you know, for Elliot to entice E.T. with Reese's Pieces. And then they became a thing, and they're one of my very favorite candies. So that I can't see a bag of Reese's Pieces or see... pieces of Reese's Pieces sitting there. Yes, how about that? Without thinking E.T.
Oh, well, there you go.
It is a part of our culture. I was going to do IMDb reviews in 5 words or less. In fact, I collected some.
Then
I figured, you know what? This is a Christian show, and I think that we should not give time to, other than you, to this whole postmodern snarky cynicism in our nation. I think that it is really bringing down the tone and tenor and the conversation within our own society here in these great United States of America. Yeah. And so we're not going to do that. So anybody that wants it, you can get all the all the 10-star reviews. This movie is perfect. All the way down to one of the 1-star reviews was nobody with any intelligence likes this movie. How is that for a statement? Would you like to?
That's a bold statement.
That's a mighty bold statement. But see, now we aren't satisfied with saying it's not my cup of tea. I didn't like it. Now what we have to do is we have to bring in the utmost in cynicism and vitriol, because that's really vitriol.
Well, see, we've been taught how to think critically. We just don't know.
Forgot?
We just don't know where the line between objective and subjective is anymore.
It's the way that I think that there's a major failing going on in English classes across the United States. Because I love it when you read a review and they'll say you instead of I. Mm-hmm. You can't get through this movie without puking. No. You. That's not true. It would be I, subjective versus objective, right?
See, the true postmodern cynic in me would say, who gives you the authority to be the authority on this matter?
Well,
that's just me.
But see, that's indicative of the conversation that takes place in this country, and especially when you get to religion, because it's purely subjective. Anyway, so I just thought that I would throw that in as a little enticement and as a little a lead in, a transition to your thoughts on E.T.
Well, I'm comfortable in saying it. This movie is just not my cup of tea.
And why is that, though?
I don't know.
Because I'll tell you right now, I'm obviously influenced by my own nostalgia. So I can't even, I don't know that I can separate myself from it and say, that's really not a good movie. Because I think it is a good movie, but is that because it evokes so much wonder?
Of wonder your own nostalgia. Yes. Yeah. And you speak of wonderment, and I think that's the main thing Spielberg's trying to do here. He's trying to tell this story through the perspectives and through the vantage points and through the eyes of these kids. So, yeah, when we see, for example, when we see E.T., you know, in the closet with the stuffed animals, it's a very lighthearted scene. But then how are the adults treated in the film? We barely see their faces. They're hardly in the room for, you know, more than...
We don't see...
More time at all.
Keys, you know, the main antagonist.
Yes.
And his crew of people. We don't see the teacher's face. Mm-hmm. All we see is the mom.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which, and really, I mean, if you think about
That's an effectual use of blocking and...
Ineffectual or ineffectual?
An effectual. Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought you said. I just want to make sure. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the distance from the reality, but I say that, and I still acknowledge that Spielberg was trying to tell this reality through a kid's eye. So I get that. I feel like certain points of the film, I was just, I'm too old for this.
But he also tricked us. He tricked us in this film. He made us believe the whole time that this group of men led by Keys were coming to destroy.
To take and kill.
Yes. Yeah. And it turns out that was not the case at all. And so not showing faces of anybody but the mom. See, the mom was damaged goods because of her pain of her husband leaving her for another woman.
Yeah.
And that really we're led to understand that is a driving factor in her life, a motivating factor for many different things. Maybe not even a motivating, that's a hindrance to many things in her life. And so I think that's why we were allowed to get close to her. But I don't know what it was with the teacher. Maybe that was just to maintain the all you get to see is the only adult you get to see is the mom.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, it's that until you get to...
Yes. The catharsis.
I would say, yeah, the climax.
Yeah.
And then you actually get to see Keys, and then he gets a chance to explain himself.
Yes.
Thus revealing the mystery.
And it's beautiful.
Like, look, there are people that are here trying to, like, hurt him. I'm not.
Yeah.
I can help you.
But I don't think anybody involved was there to hurt him. I think that's the beauty of it.
Oh, okay. Well,
although Elliot,
I would have said, like, the news reporters were like, "Who is this?" You know, getting all up in his face. Like that's what I mean. That's that kind of antagonism.
Okay.
Or antagonism.
I gotcha.
But no one. Yeah, they weren't really there to hurt him. But through the whole movie, we thought they were, just because of the way they were presented. Right.
And so that's great. So, I mean, that's great direction. Hey, you know what? Getting back to the story. Here's a little quote from the fellow who played Michael, the older brother, Robert McNaughton, I believe, on E.T., he says, quote, "It's a fable. It's got universal themes that everyone can relate to." And it really is, isn't it? This is a timeless story. This story has probably been around since stories have been told.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're going to be able to pull out some even bigger universal themes and truths, maybe some objective truths in this one. Okay, shout outs.
Just a quick one to Elliot himself, Henry Thomas.
Okay, what'd you think about his performance?
I thought it was good. I thought some points were just a little exaggerated, but so were the rest of the kids. And I think that was just Spielberg being director saying, hey, we need some more kiddishness out of you. So elaborate it and then let us do the editing.
Can I tell you the one scene that I love that Henry Thomas pulled off? When he's faking being sick
Okay? Yeah.
And his mom, you know, checks him. Okay, you're hot. Okay, I'll be right back. So she leaves the room, and he's heating up the thing again or whatever. When she comes in, he put the thermometer into his mouth, and then as she's still there, realizes, oh, I put it in the wrong way. And just the way he did, that was great performance.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought that he was a little kid trying to trick his mom. It was in his eyes, you know, the panic. Oops, I did this wrong. That was, he turned in a really good performance.
Yes.
Probably, the best performance of the entire movie. I mean, Dee Wallace as the mom, Mary, did great. Peter Coyote as Keyes. Well, he's a fine actor. But I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk just for a moment about Drew Barrymore. Was this her first, real major role?
Maybe.
As a little Gertie there?
Little Gertie.
There's one scene in there where she's talking about, I taught him how to talk. She's scratching her nose.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to wonder, did they tell her to scratch your nose, or just she's a little kid?
Is that her doing it?
Yeah, which is great. You know, I love that kind of stuff when you're trying to figure out all those things. I didn't notice that C. Thomas Howell was in this film.
Remind me who that is.
Well, yeah, Tyler.
Remind me who that is.
You don't know who C. Thomas Howell. You know what? Because you're two, outsiders, movies like that. He was a teen heartthrob kind of a dude.
Was he Zero Charisma?
I don't know.
Okay.
Zero. Okay. Anyway. Okay.
Anyway.
And then I had to stop it right at the beginning as the credits are rolling and rewind it to see if I had seen what I thought that I had seen. Produced by Steven Spielberg, directed by Steven Spielberg, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Produced by Steven Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy. Kathleen Kennedy, the lady who the entire Star Wars universe is sitting comfortably in her hands, her palms. She is the Kevin Feige of
Feige. No, it is Feige.
Feige.
Darn it.
Yes.
Darn it.
Star Wars. Oh. I got it. Yay! I've never really looked into her. I mean, I knew when George Lucas sold, Star Wars to Disney, it was really being just passed right on to her hands. Here you go. You're now George Lucas.
Yeah.
Congratulations. But I had never looked into her, and all I know is that when the new Star Wars came out, when the Force Awakens came out, I'm still geeked out over that and just go, yay, Kathleen Kennedy, yay. But then to find out, oh, she's been around all this time. And what else has she been involved in? A lot of things. Back to the Future, she was involved. She's a producer and been around for a long time. She was young when this came out, too. She's only in her 50s. Huh, interesting. Any other shout-outs that you wanted to?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so you didn't like the film. I don't know why, but were you able to? I mean, is this something that we can encourage Christians to watch with friends and loved ones, unbelievers, and share some Christian themes? Okay, what in the world, what direction would you go? Would you recommend one of our listeners to share with their friends as they're watching this film after?
Very, very simple. I would just tell them to phone home.
Like E.T.?
Like E.T., yes.
Really?
But we wouldn't just phone home. We would pray to our Heavenly Father.
Oh!
Because Elliot and the kids, they're trying to explain what the Earth is to them, you know, how it's their home. Let's play the clip.
Okay. We're here. We are here. Where are you from?
Well, I don't like his feet. Only feet, you little twerp. He's trying to tell us something. Earth. Home. Home.
Home.
Ah. See, there's that first word he picked up on, E.T., home. And I think throughout the film we get a sense of E.T. knows what home is. He may not know how to express it in English, in the English language, but he's homesick. From the very first
literally
scene, we when the spaceship leaves him behind, which it was an accident.
Yes.
It was an accident.
Hey, they had to get out of there.
Yeah, well, because Keys was coming.
Yep.
And they left him behind, and you can see the heartbreak.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, shout out to the Puppet Masters.
That was a puppet?
Well, you know, animatronic.
I thought this was an extraterrestrial. You just ruined... Man,
anyway,
there is a spoiler alert!
Anyway. You can just tell that E.T.'s homesick.
Yes.
And he's longing to get back home, which isn't everyone longing to get back home to God. Anyway, that's just... Again, subjective opinion. And movie goes on while Elliot's drunk at school. He's about to dissect frogs, and then he liberates the frogs.
Yes.
Which, I don't know, could be their exodus of the frogs.
Oh.
No, don't take that one. That's not plague. Or, yeah, just the plague. E.T. and Gertie, they're back home, and... Well, Gertie's trying to teach him how to talk.
Phone.
Yes, what a perfect day.
Phone.
No, not like an airplane.
Phone.
A rocket ship. I think it came from outer space.
You want to call somebody?
Well, who on Earth does E.T. want to call? Nobody on Earth.
No one.
No one on Earth, but he wants to call his people because, again, he's homesick. And now that he knows the word home and he knows the word phone, he can better communicate to these kids what he is trying to do, his super objective. And that is a classical term.
So yes.
Gather around children.
All right. Brendan's going to learn you something.
Gather around children. Super objective is the one thing that a character in a story wants.
Oh.
That's simply put. One of my professors at MTSU said to always express it in the infinitive form. Therefore, E.T.'s super objective is to communicate with his home, is to phone home. That's his one simple super objective. And we hear that culmination here.
You should give him his dignity. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Phone.
He said phone?
Can't you understand English? He said phone.
Home.
You're right. That's E.T.'s home.
Huh? E.T. Phone.
E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home. He wants to call somebody.
Exactly, Gertie. He wants to call his home.
I can't believe that's a puppet.
Anyway.
Oh, didn't sound like a puppet.
Anyway. That is not to discredit him, Michael. He's still an endearing character. Endearing character. So what's the importance of phoning home?
Communicating.
Communicating.
Bonding.
I would dare say strengthening the bond between those communicating.
Yes.
On a constant basis. See, E.T.'s used to being with his family. He's not. He misses him. He wants to talk to him. He wants to cry out for help. Say, hey, you guys left me by accident.
Do you remember me?
Please, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Please come back and get me.
Yeah. Do you feel for me? Do you, are we still connected?
Mm-hmm.
I'm alone.
Oh. He's just a puppet in a sea of kids.
He's not a puppet.
He's just an alien in a sea of kids.
Yes, the extraterrestrial.
He's just an E.T. in a sea of kids. Anyway.
This isn't home.
No, it's not home. And
he says, this world is not my home.
He's just a passing through.
That's what he thought.
Anyway, short and simple. E.T. wants to phone home to strengthen the bond between he and his family. We, in like manner, pray to strengthen the bond between us and God.
To call home.
That way.
Call Abba.
Yes, sir. That way, and actually, I'm gonna bolster you up, Michael.
All right.
Praying, strengthening that bond so much so that E.T. can feel how they feel. He can act how they would act. Kind of what we see in the bond between E.T. and Elliot.
Yeah.
They start feeling the same thing. They start acting.
There's that influence. That's a great metaphor for us as Christians.
Yeah. Because, you know, if we keep praying to God, we're going to start feeling like God. Not in the cocky way. Don't misinterpret.
No.
We're going to empathize like God. That's what I mean.
Paul said that in Philippians, have the mind of Christ.
That's my key text right there.
Oh!
Well, look at that.
Hey, good thing I took it out of mine.
How did
then?
You know?
No, I didn't see. I didn't know. It's not in your notes.
I didn't have one. I was just going to say the Bible is replete.
Get over there to Philippians chapter 2.
Hey, there you go.
Okay, verses 2 through 5. How about that? As I'm flipping through this paper.
As you're Philippians through.
Philippians through here.
The paper.
And, okay, here we go, Brendan. You want your key verse?
Glad you found it.
Okay, then make my joy complete. This is out of the NIV. New International Version.
Yeah, that's a NIV.
Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider it equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, and goes on, right, describing how great Jesus is, but he came down and he had this mindset of serving and influencing and loving others, and that kind of goes in with what you were talking about.
There you go. And just to pick on Jesus for a second, you know, like the world doesn't want to, just to pick on Jesus, he was so in tune with God through his prayer, through his daily walking with God, that he was able to do all those things continually. Just tossing that out there.
Because he kept calling home. He kept calling his father to strengthen the bond.
He made time to call his home.
Yep. Oh, hours and hours and hours Jesus spent in prayer with his father, phoning home. Wow.
And that's it for me.
Wow. Hey, great illustration, Brendan. That's nice and easy. The listeners can remember that simply. Phone home. Pray. Pray home. Pray to home. Because this world is not your home. You're just passing through. So keep your connection with home.
There you go.
Oh, and that's going to influence you, and then you are going to influence others through. Sometimes they're going to feel your feelings. I would call this movie, Brendan, I would call it DP, not ET. DP, The Drift Compatible. Oh, friends, this is hearkening back. I'm just piggybacking on Pacific Rim. We talked about that on Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 65. You can find that on the website at christincinema.com. What I got out of here was the encouragement not only to phone home and keep that connection, but then to be of one mind. This is a reminder to us as Christians, and you can point this out to your unbelieving friends. This relationship between Elliot and E.T., this is the church. You talk about two people that couldn't be any more different. They're from different planets, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
Because once Elliot makes first contact with this extraterrestrial.
With the goblin.
Yes, yes. You know, this weird coyote creature, you know, deformed animal that everybody's surmising what this could possibly be. No, it's the most outlandish thing that you can imagine. This is an extraterrestrial. He's off planet. He doesn't belong here. This mm-hmm. is not his home. He's just passing through,
yeah.
But he got stranded for a little bit more than what he anticipated, and so once they get over this hurdle of first contact, then the real first contact begins, because now they're going to communicate with each other, and Elliot put out the food. Well, everybody needs food. Yeah. There's food, you know, and as he gets E.T. to come into his room, then they start, you know, there's this whole scene of them mimicking movements.
Yeah.
You know, Elliot does something, E.T. does something, the same thing. And then it's weird because all of a sudden, you know, Elliot's getting yawning and sleepy and E.T.'s kind of, you know, what's that all about? Mm. Well, what we don't understand is that's a foreshadowing moment, right?
Yeah.
And that we see that come to fruition when Elliot is at school and E.T.'s at home all by himself and this guy likes to eat. Okay. And so he's going through the refrigerator and dropping yogurt and milk. Did you know milk spilled on the floor?
Yes.
In that scene?
I sure did.
How could you tell?
Because there was a good 5 to 10 second shot of milk pouring out of a carton.
And then he finds, you know, he had, there's been, you know, Pepsi or Coke cans all throughout the house in this movie, you know, and so he said, oh, here's another can or something, you know, this got to be, you know, some of that cool soda that they have. Well, it turns out to be beer.
Hey!
And he likes it, yeah. And he drinks it, and he's watching this movie, and everything is playing, is being mirrored in Elliot's classroom, mm-hmm. in the frog dissection scene.
Well, they don't even get to the dissecting garden.
Yeah. Right, because, first of all...
He liberates them.
Yes, because in a drunken passion...
In a drunken stupor.
Yes. Elliot, because he's affected, because there's this being of one mind taking place.
But it's not just one mind. It's like the actual physical body... E.T. drinks the beer.
Yeah.
Elliot gets drunk.
E.T.'s watching this movie, and here comes this kiss, and Elliot's kissing the girl.
I got to give props to Spielberg.
Yeah.
That was an awesome scene, awesome little scene, because you're thinking, oh, Elliot's not tall enough to kiss that girl. Meanwhile, there's this little runt kid crawling down, and then he just happens to be at the right spot at the right time. Excellent blocking, sir.
Yes.
But go on.
And so we know that this connection is a real connection, and we know that that there is this drift compatible. What was it called when going into the drift, into the
drift compatible, the neural handshake?
Yes, yes. Well, the neural handshake has been made. We know that, and it is confirmed for us in the scene. E.T.'s wanting to some parts in order to build his machine to phone home. Mm-hmm. And so the two brothers are in the garage going through all kinds of electronic parts trying to find something, and Michael has an observation to make.
Oh, Elliot. He doesn't look too good anymore.
Don't say that. We're fine.
What's all this we stuff?
You say we all the time now. Really, Elliot, I think you might be getting kind of sick.
Look, he's fine, Mike.
Okay. Forget I mentioned it. Grab that fuzzbuster.
He's not looking very well. Hey, we're fine. What's all this we stuff? Why do you keep saying we? Because they're in the drift. They are in the drift. They're drift compatible. They're in the drift. Mm-hmm. The neural handshake is... It's a firm handshake. And it's also confirmed in the triage. As Keys, we finally find out about Keys. And he comes in to find a dying Elliot and a dying E.T. And they have all these scientists and doctors have questions for the mom and for the brothers. And, you know, we don't know what's going on. Oh, that's the wrong one. We don't know what's going on.
Did it ever build anything or write anything down?
No.
Would you say it has the ability to manipulate its own environment?
He's smart. He communicates through Elliot.
What does all this mean?
Elliot thinks its thoughts.
No, Elliot. Elliot feels his feelings.
Okay. Are you saying that E.T. thinks, or Elliot thinks E.T.'s thoughts? No. That's not it. He feels what E.T. is feeling. So remember, this is very important. Haha, important. Remember back to Pacific Rim, episode number 65 of Finding Christ in Cinema. Remember we said that unity of believers, this being of one mind, this neural handshake between believers, unity does, or being unified as Christians, does not mean thinking the same things. It's a unity in purpose. Mm-hmm. It's a unity of spirit. It's feeling the same things. In other words, having the same convictions, right? It's not that being of the same mind. It's being of the same spirit, the same purpose, the same drive. That is the mindset of Jesus, as Paul wrote to the Philippians in the NIV version, the mindset, right? I have something to share with you here. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18, out of the Amplified Bible. As I read this, Brendan, see how this reminds you of this film, of this neural handshake, of this being in the drift together between Elliot and E.T. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18, the Amplified version. Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor, never lagging behind in diligence. Aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ. Steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength, contributing to the needs of God's people, pursuing the practice of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, who cause you harm or hardship. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy. And weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, conceited, self-important, exclusive, but associate with the humble people, those with a realistic self-view. Do not overestimate yourself. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought for what is right and gracious and proper in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That is what Paul is encouraging believers everywhere to do. This is how brothers and sisters in Christ, this is how you have the same mindset as Christ. This is how you be drift compatible. That's how you go into the drift. This is how you make the neural handshake. This is how to be a Christian. And that is what Elliot and E.T. are doing. They feel the same things. Why? Because when one is weeping, the other is weeping with them. When one is feeling joy, the other is feeling joy with them. Why? Because they're placing each other above themselves and the needs of the other. Wow. Here, let's go. I took your key text.
Oh, it's okay. I'll share it.
Okay. Philippians 2, verse 2. out of the New English translation. I believe this is this should be the same key text that I used on episode 65 for Pacific Rim. Paul says, complete my joy and be of the same mind by having the same love, being united in spirit and having one purpose. Boom! That's your definition of unity. Not the same thought. Are you saying that that Elliot thinks his thoughts? No, 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 no. But he feels his feelings because they have the same purpose. They have the same spirit. They have the same love. They have the same mind in that sense. Do you have something, questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You say this is how to be a Christian.
Yes.
I would stretch that even further and say this is how to be a Christian community.
Yes.
A gathering.
We could call that hive mind.
An assembly.
Yes. Oh, a congregation.
A congregation.
A called out people.
This a set apart people.
The church.
That's right. Let's quit beating around the bush. This is the church.
What does that have to do with going on a Sunday morning and sitting on a pew in between four walls? That's one thing that the church
does. That's
one thing
you can do.
One thing.
One thing.
Yes. It's not in that list, though. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I noticed
that. So let's put emphasis where it belongs.
On the wrong syllable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, can I take a little left-hand turn here real quick?
Oh,
because
buddy. Hold on.
I can't help but see Jesus in E.T. I can't help it. I cannot help it. And I cannot help when he is dead, for all intent and purposes, in that cryogenic, you know, freezing chamber in that there. That tomb. Yes. And here comes Elliot. And I see Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. Sad and dejected, but still loving her master.
Must be dead because I don't know how to feel. I can't feel anything anymore. You've gone someplace else now. I'll believe in you all my life. Every day. E.T. I love you.
I'll believe in you all my life. Every day. I love you. And then, glory of glories, the impossible happens.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus gets up off of that slab that he's laying on in the tomb. He's arisen. And so then we have the scene where, okay, it reminds me of Acts, right? Chapter 1, here goes the Lord. Back up into, being caught up into the clouds,
uh-huh.
Right? And as they're looking up, but that parting, you know, that parting, they're sad. But he's, you know, he had already promised, hey, that's okay, I'm going to send you the helper, and he's going to be here until I return. But the last thing that he says,
I'll be right here.
He points to Elliot's head, but we already know that this isn't thoughts, this is feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't share the same thoughts. They shared the same feelings, you know, and so there is that that aspect of this film that is, I mean, E.T. as a Christ figure, as a Jesus figure, telling that story, and, you know, a parable, obviously, a similitude,
yeah,
right? I have one more verse or two verses that I wanted to share with the listeners out of Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 out of the New English Translation. Now, may the God, this is a blessing, may the God of endurance and comfort give you unity with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of us having that hive mind, of that neural handshake, of being drift compatible, of being one mind, of being unified as the body of believers? What is the purpose? So that we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be unified on something? You unify on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that glorifies God. That is saying to God, all glory and majesty and honor and praise to you because of Jesus Christ. That is what it is to be a Christian. Let's not ever forget that. Some of us believers, as believers, we come from different planets, man. I hear people out there, some of the religious views and things out there, I'm thinking, you are from a different planet than I am because mm-hmm. I don't agree with you in the slightest. And then they turn around and say, there's one Lord and Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And I say, amen, brother. Amen, brother. What a great film for giving an illustration of Christian unity, what it looks like, what it feels like, what it acts like, right? And thank you to St. Paul for pointing those things out to us. He didn't even know. I wonder if he knew we were going to cover E.T. today.
He probably didn't.
All those years ago, no.
Nah.
So there you go. Any other questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Well, just to quickly state it, yes, that is how you give the most glory back to God. But we've also got to remember.
Wait, when you say but, that means that everything you said previously is discounted now.
No, it's not discounted. Okay, well then let me say furthermore.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Furthermore.
In addition to
yes. that, we've got to be that angled mirror.
Amen.
And that's the whole point.
How do we be that angled mirror?
By being unified.
Yes.
In Christ.
Because that's going to provoke people outside of the church community, of the assembly of the called out ones, to say, what is going on with those people?
I want some of
that.
Look
how they treat each other.
Man.
Yes, I want some of that. And God says, I've got plenty of it for you. That's okay. If that's your motivation to come in because you're jealous of what my people have, come on in. I've got plenty. Plenty to go around. There's grace for all. Amazing grace.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, brother. Hey, listeners, what Christian themes did you find in E.T., the Extraterrestrial? There's a lot of themes in here that would be fun to talk. I mean, even, you know, Keys, you could focus on that character. That was a good character. You know, you could focus on the relationship between the brothers and how that changes mm-hmm. over time. And a lot of great things in here. But first and foremost, I think it's just a good picture of the church and together, and then to marry that together with Brendan's point about maintaining communication, because that's another thing that we do. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're to do.
Mm-hmm.
And praise God. It gives glory to God when we maintain that connection home, because this world ain't our home. Wow. I love it, Brendan. I'm sorry that you didn't enjoy the film, but there's some great Christian themes in it, huh?
You got that right.
All right. Brendan, we do have some feedback, and as we are wont to do, let's go on over to... Wait, where is this again?
Who goes there? It is I.
No.
Being me has its privilege.
Yes, that would be the patron Saint Philip taking us down to King Philip's stables. He left a comment on last episode, episode 90 of Finding Christ in Cinema, the Half-Blood Prince episode. It says, fun show, guys.
All right.
Half-Blood Prince is my favorite Potter film and definitely one of my favorites of the books. I think it captures the spirit and feel of the book series better than any of the other movies. Funny enough, it was my least favorite until I rewatched it for the first time, at which point I came to properly appreciate it for the beauty it is. I was glad to see Michael coming on board with Michael Gambon. Finally! You know, do they? I don't know.
Yeah. Although I think Philip's about to make a great point.
Okay, so let's see. Keep going. Yeah. In this film, he's doing things physically and actively that I don't think Richard Harris would have done as well. No, Richard Harris was in bad shape physically by the time of his two role performances. Although Michael's explanation regarding Harris's whimsical portrayal of Dumbledore makes a lot of sense, and I agree that he better fit that aspect of the character than Gambon. See? I made a good point.
And here's how you do it, Philip.
Okay.
Here's how you do it.
They're like choosing between deep dish or thin crust pizza. Either way, we win.
That's right.
No, here's the problem is that I'm not a fan of pizza at all.
Don't worry, Philip. I got you, buddy.
Okay. One thing you discussed that I liked was Harry displaying what Christian discipline looks like. Paul used a soldier as a way of illustrating the Christian life. Okay, now sidebar here. Philip is a veteran, so he loves the soldier metaphors. And also, patron Saint Philip, God bless you for your service, sir. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Paul uses the soldier as a way of illustrating the Christian life, and I think that over time that has been warped into something else, especially in contemporary America. We are to have discipline, devotion, and a readiness for instant obedience when faced with the clear choice of following Christ or doing what may be wise in our own eyes or that of the world. We are not called to fight a culture war, dig in our heels, or get in the face of people whose values are contrary to ours.
Huh?
Wow.
Oh.
Preach it, brother.
Just say it out loud, Philip.
Just say it. Just it needs to be said. So many Christians doing so have turned popular perception on our faith into a political one, rather than that of followers of Christ walking in his grace, his amazing grace. I interjected that. I've been there and done that myself. Me too, brother. I interjected that too. And I love this. And ungrace is not an effective witnessing tool. We can and need to figure out how to be faithful to Jesus, stand up for his values, and still graciously love our neighbors in the process. This is the line of the year so far. Ungrace is not an effective witnessing tool. Wow.
I want that on a t-shirt.
I was just going to say that. David Gaddy, if you hear this.
Wait, who's David Gaddy?
David Gaddy of our sister show, The Theonauts! Over there at theonautspodcast.com. We want that on a t-shirt. Have patron Saint Philip quoted at the bottom. Ungrace is not an effective witnessing tool. Patron Saint Philip. Okay, anyway. Love the show, guys. Looking forward to the next Potter film. Hashtag
MaWeLiveGinland.
Yes. And for new listeners, if you have no idea what we just said, that was hashtag MaWeLiveGimli.
All you have to do is
go back and listen to all the episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema.
I was just going to say, if you want to get to the source of the joke, just watch The Hobbit, The Unexpected Journey.
Okay, is that what that one is in?
That's where that came
from. Anyway, excellent thoughts as always. As always. Next up, my buddy Jason Johnson.
This is the one that you this was your romping pal.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes. Jason is one of my oldest friends, one of my dearest friends. And he left a comment, says, on Christian themes, try this. Jesus calls his followers to become like children. This movie highlights the value of having a childlike, not childish, disposition. Throughout most of the film, faceless adults are viewed as a threat to the innocent, in this case, E.T., until Peter Coyote, Keyes, reveals that his intentions are driven by the heart of a child. He testifies to Elliot about his own childlike wonder and that he doesn't mean any harm to E.T. Excellent point. You can use that as you're sitting on your
double-decker couch
with That's your right. friends or loved ones That's watching right. E.T. So, and he did it much quicker than we did. But it reminds me of Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Out of the New English translation, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it."
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're barred from. They won't go in. They won't go in. It's like that picture one more time. And I posted this a couple of months ago somewhere on our GCT Network Facebook page or Instagram, wherever. But it's some boys lined up about to dive into a lake or a pond.
Mm-hmm.
Their mother could have been 2 feet away from them and would not stop them from jumping into that lake. It's like the kingdom of heaven. Try and stop them from going in because they have that childlike wonder. Let's put it this way. If you take me to Disneyland or some theme park, some amusement park where, like if we go to Dollywood or something, okay, the normal circumstance of those places is you're walking around on dry land, getting on rides and stuff. They're dry rides, but they always have some kind of a log ride at these places that if you get on this, you're going to get drenched, yes, from head to foot, and then you're going to be walking around for hours in wet clothing. You're fully. You can't get me to do that. That does not sound appealing at all. That's much like somebody that doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child. See, a child looks at those rides and says, "I'm all in. I'm all in. I want to get wet." Mm-hmm. An adult like me looks at it and says, "No, I'm not going on that ride.
I'm not getting a rash."
See, they aren't barring me from getting on it or a mid rash.
Oh,
they aren't barring me from. Nobody's blocking me from going on. It's me. I tell you the truth. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. They're just not going to. So that's a great point, Jason. So there you go. Now you have four ways. We've given you 4 ways to share the gospel using ET today.
And all under an hour.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. We got 15 minutes left. You ready?
Man, yes.
Oh, we haven't been here for a while. You ready for some real news?
Roll it. Well, Michael, this past Sunday, as you well know, because I know you dedicated your whole Sunday to this one event.
It was my anniversary.
It was the Super Bowl
of
movie trailers.
I like that one. That is a good one.
You know I hate comedians.
By the by, happy anniversary.
Hey, thank you.
But yes, with the Super Bowl this past Sunday also came a lot of movie trailers.
Okay, what'd you see?
Plenty of them.
Because I'm not like you. Unlike you, I'm not a football fan, so I didn't.
Well, I'm not a football fan either, but I watched the Super Bowl.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, go Peyton. Go Cam. Go Cam, go.
So it was the Peytons versus the Cams?
It actually was.
Okay, never heard of it.
It was old and busted versus new hotness.
Oh.
Anybody that can tell me that reference, I will be your friend forever. Anyway,
Three Stooges.
No.
Okay.
Way later than that. With all these movie trailers, and I'm sure you've seen at least two of them.
Are you going to tell us the best ones, or what are you going to
tell
us? I'm
going to tell you my personal favorite ones. Captain America.
Oh, the new Winter Soldier?
Yes.
It's a new trailer?
No, the new Civil War, not Winter Soldier.
I mean, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
But yes, new trailer for that.
What? Real quick, one thing. Why? Why is that your favorite?
It's just
Captain America.
It's just Captain America.
Okay.
Oh, it's not my favorite. See, that's the thing. I don't do favorites anymore. I just do what I like.
But the,
anyway, here.
What's the difference?
Number two.
Uh-huh.
The Jungle Book.
Yeah?
An extended trailer for The Jungle Book.
Oh, good.
Because what they did for TV, they shared like a like a 15-second clip, and then they said go to this place online to see the full trailer.
Oh, now this is the Jungle Book with Black Widow,
with Jon Favreau directing, with Scarlett Johansson, Bill Murray. Yes, that cast. This is the first
trailer looked amazing.
The second one's even better. Oh,
okay.
The second one, you get more interaction with the voice acting.
Oh, right. Okay.
That, and then 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I've seen the trailer for that. This one's
a new trailer.
And it was like the 30-second one?
I think it was longer than 30 seconds.
Oh, okay, because there was a previous trailer that I saw that was very deceptive, because it's like happy music and they're playing board games and stuff, and then it gets dark. And then this little one that I saw was just doom.
This one's about
John Goodman. He's not FCC's very own. How can he not be FCC's? Find a way for him to be FCC's very. Oh, he's in that.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes. Oh, that needs to go on Patron Saint Philip Presents The List! The Odyssey. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else were you going to say?
That newer one with Breaking Bad guy, with the Blacklist movie writer, starts with.
Oh!
I don't think you.
Trumbo.
Yes,
Trumbo.
I want to see that movie.
I almost said a presidential candidate.
Trumbo.
Yes,
that one,
he is in that.
Yes, I don't think you and I are going to be friends. I want John Goodman as FCC's very own. I love his acting chops.
Maybe we can make it happen.
Okay, so and so I want to see 10 Cloverfield Lane. That is a J.J. Abrams. It's not a Star Wars series.
No,
Star Wars. No, okay.
No. It's either a prequel or a sequel
to Cloverfield.
To Cloverfield.
Okay, I need to see Cloverfield.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you pretty much Cloverfield is just one of those movies you either loved it so much or you despise it so much. So just heads up for that.
All right.
It's found footage.
Oh,
I know. I want to tell you now. No. I just want to tell you now. It's found footage.
No.
Anyway. That's it. Oh, a link in the show notes to a Vox.com article that has all the trailers that premiered in the Super Bowl.
And by show notes, he doesn't mean our blog post on the website. He means down at the bottom of the blog post on our website. Every single blog post for the podcast has a link to our actual show notes that we're using to do the show. And there's links and things in there that we don't put in the blog posts. So great. Hey, that's excellent real news. Are you ready for some
well-mannered frivolity?
I do want to say that last weekend on the Super Bowl of Movies thing, it was my wife and I's wedding anniversary, and so we were actually able to spend a weekend away from the kids. Hey. Whoa! God loves us. And we went to just a half hour down the road in east in Tennessee here to, what's it called? The University of the South?
Yeah, Sewanee.
Yeah. And had a burger at some place there on campus. And
the blue chair?
Yes.
What was that? Is that just on campus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right there, right by the 41A. They have a 41A over there, too. There's how many 41As in Tennessee are there?
Man.
In Middle Tennessee, there's all kinds of 41As.
So I could just stay on 41A?
No, none of them are related. They just all have the same name. It's like, you know, it's like the John Smith of Rhodes. I know it doesn't make sense. It's
got to be the same 41A.
It is not.
The same one that goes through Nashville, through Shelbyville, through Tullahoma, through T-Town.
No, they just use that name over it. It's a recycled name, like John Smith.
Man.
Hey, what should we call this road? I can't think of anything. Just call it 41A.
Okay. It's close enough to Highway 41.
And that has nothing to do with well-mannered frivolity.
Well, anyway.
Except for this town, if you are in the area and you have never been there, this is like, as people call it, the Hogwarts of the South. This campus is amazing.
Seeing your pictures, I can see that.
We walked into the chapel there. I can't remember. All Saints Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blown away. I got some great pictures in there. So anyway, that was my well-mannered frivolity. I love you, honey. Thank you for 19 years. Okay.
Could I tell you that was a Gothic-style cathedral?
Oh, yes, you can, because you'd be right. So go ahead and say it.
That was a Gothic-style cathedral.
And Brendan is correct!
I only know that because that's what I was studying.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of studying,
yes,
got some new assignments up.
Oh, good.
For theater in the church class with this online grad school program, I've got adapting scripture to performance. And that one's already coming to gone. I've already got those turned in. Got them turned in last week. The two passages, we were assigned one, and then we had to choose one.
Wow.
The one we were assigned was Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. You talk about that one mind, one body, one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism. There is one Lord. That, and then the passage I chose was John 21, 3 through 17.
Eat my sheep.
No, feed my sheep.
Oh, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Okay, yeah.
So adapted those into a little bit of performance. This next assignment is Reader's Theater, in which I get to basically choose any type of prose piece that I want, as long as it has a solid biblical foundation and expresses a biblical truth, adapt it to, again, a performance.
How neat.
To script it out, and with this one, I actually get to film it and then put it up on YouTube.
Why, so, why are we going to do audio theater here at GCTN?
Hey, that could be... Hey.
Make it happen, number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So GCT Network presents?
Yeah.
Oh.
Da, 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 da.
Yes. Theater of the Mind. Step up. Step. Oh, okay.
That's for that class. For the next class, text analysis, we're looking at, well, right now we're looking at a play called The Clean House by Sarah Rule. Just toss that one aside. The next play we're looking at.
I wish you were watching the video right now.
The next play we're looking at
is
Twelfth Night by Shakespeare.
Okay.
And
12th out of how many? I mean,
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm so glad that the school's library has a resource where we can watch the Globe Theater's productions.
Oh, wonderful.
Of certain plays.
Uh-huh.
And there's a recent production of this play of Twelfth Night. And it stars Mark Rylance.
Good.
Which, Michael, I know you know who that is. For the listeners who don't know, you would have most recently seen him in Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks.
Oh, I want to see that. You loved that movie.
He's the spy that Tom Hanks has to get across the bridge.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
That's Mark Rylance. And then, you know, don't really care for his political opinions or his religiosity or lack thereof, but Stephen Fry, he's a great actor.
Yes, he is.
And in this play, he shows it.
Well, awesome.
So,
how wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Life's just floating along.
Yes, it is. It's good to be Brendan.
Hey.
Any more well-mannered frivolity?
No, I got a lightning round.
The lightning round! So do I.
Well, you go first.
Patron St. Philip took us up on our challenge last episode.
Great Scott?
No. And he did establish the GCT Network, the GCTN Goodreads group. Over there on Goodreads, the low-pressure reading group where we're going to goof around.
The book club.
Yeah, our little book club. So he's heading that up. You can join us over there if you're on Goodreads. Short link to it is gctnetwork.com/Goodreads. That'll take you right to the group. Sign up over there and join us. Just have fun. We all love reading. We all love reading. Okay, yeah, there you go. Reading. Lightning round. I did that quick.
Hey, there you go. Here's mine.
Yes.
An article from the Washington Post.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, what's coming up next? There's more?
No, yes.
Oh, okay.
Why kids now more than ever need to learn philosophy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
What was the gist?
Philosophy.
Yes, I love it.
Just check it out. It's in the show notes, or if we just happen to be friends on Facebook, I posted it on Facebook.
All right.
But it's a definitely good article. Check it out.
All right. Hey, what is coming up next?
Next week, we're getting back to M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan Ding Dong. Ooh-ee.
Yes. Ooh-ah-ah.
Yes.
We're going to look at The Visit.
Okay, his newest film.
Mm-hmm. And Michael, I think you're going to love it.
I hope so.
Filters up.
Found footage.
See, again,
first-person shooter.
There's one thing where it's like Cloverfield / the Blair Witch Project first-person shooter.
Yeah.
This one is different, and you'll see why.
Filters up as in, like, my kids can't watch it or my wife can't watch it?
Kids.
Okay.
Kids first, and then after you and Shelly decide, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then what's after that? Anything?
We're going back to the future.
Yeah,
we're gonna finish out. Oh, here, look at this, Michael. You in your little DeLorean. He's been sitting up here. If you're watching on the
video, your real eyebrows.
Yes, he's ready to go right here. Hey, you may have noticed that this is a shorter than normal episode here. That is a wonderful. This is the time frame that we are shooting for. Hopefully, subsequent episodes will comply with
this. We'll
follow. Yeah, there you go. Right in at about an hour and 15 minutes, just under an hour and 15 minutes. But listen, Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan and I, we are live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and the video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 91 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Missing Monday movie review, and links to all our social networking media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. If you want to bypass all that, get right to us. You want to do it old-fashioned style, email. Just self-addressed stamped envelope.
Donkey Express.
Send it to FCC at gctnetwork.com.
No, Pony Express. That's what it was.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
If you want to just call us on the voice line.
Donkey Express.
Exactly. If you just want to call us on the voice line, we have our first phone number at 507-407-GCTN.
Now, yes.
If you know who you're voting for in this election,
yeah,
and you think your candidate would never call that first number,
inconceivable.
Call our second number at 507-407-4286.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
No, you just want to listen to the podcast.
Yes.
You want to listen to the podcast. You got to go to iTunes. You got to go to Stitcher. And you got to go to Duct Tape.
Love Duct Tape.
No, you don't go to Duct Tape. You go to TuneIn Radio.
Yes.
And you search the stores for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Or falafel.
I don't like falafel.
You could search both.
You could if you want.
All right. And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts! Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to an anvil.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
And that is a wrap.
Love duct tape.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Sentimental hogwash.
I told you he was tricksy.
It's a trap.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
Inconceivable.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
Fool of a took.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.